Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning edition of Voice of Believers Church, where we come together, we get each other fired up again, and we learn how to overcome and win in life. Isn't that good?
That is awesome.
That's good.
Announcements are Sunday morning church. Well, Monday night recovery, Monica's going to be teaching at 6:30. Be here, be square.
We're going to have evangelism on Wednesday night.
She got that for me before I got to it. Well, yeah, we're going to have evangelism on Wednesday night.
So we're going to meet at 6 for Hershey Pie.
Okay.
And then hit the streets.
The streets. Some people, Jesus.
And then healing school on Friday.
Come on.
And then
we're going to put you out front to build a preacher.
And then we have healing school on Friday night at 7.
That's right. 7 o'clock, yep. We're here. We're going to have healing school.
Yeah.
You learn how to get healed and stay healed.
That's
divine,
right.
Divine health.
That's
feel
right.
Good in life through the power of the word.
That's right.
And stand in faith. I guess we have testimonies.
Anyone have any testimonies?
Testimony, something good to happen, God done for you, anything?
Amen. Amen. Awesome. And I tagged you. I found some free kittens on the Facebook, and I tagged. So, amen. I guess I can share a testimony. This is a long time ago, but I heard this testimony of this woman, and this was back during the war and back when pornography was hidden. And it was by the bases, the Air Force bases, which is terrible, but... And so this woman, she went to a Baptist church, and so she felt compelled by God to put some tracks with a note and her name and phone number to call her. And she would stick them in the magazines in the pornography shop. And so this one sailor called her. So she picked him up, and she would feed him, you know, and pray with him, and then drive him back when it was time. And anyway, she got kicked out of the church for doing that. She got kicked out of the Baptist church for doing that. And she ended up starting another church. But the one sailor said, you know, he knew it wasn't right, but he was lonely, he was bored. So he went in there and he saw the note, and he immediately thought of his mom praying for him. So he called, and so he got saved. And that's a pretty good testimony. You know, it's pretty powerful what God's word can do. He's working.
Amen.
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 Any other testimonies?
Praise God.
Or any? Okay. All right. Well, I'll go ahead and do the
Lord's Supper.
That's right. The Lord's Supper.
Praise God. All right. Nathan, please come here. And Hagar, come on up, please, sir. We'll teach you how to do it too. Praise God. You're in leadership and in charge here. Praise God. You'd like to be in leadership and in charge? Run the show a little bit? All right. All right, okay, grab it up. This right, yeah, you can take that off. Good job. Just sit off the side. I'll take one, then hand them out to everyone, please, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to be taking the covenant with Jesus Christ, praise God. Powerful stuff. Hallelujah. God's body and Jesus' body and his blood shed for us. There's power in the blood of Jesus. I know we sing that, but I'm doing a study right now on the blood covenant, how powerful it is, praise God. It's just if you knew the power of this blood, and it's mixed, just know in your mind it's mixing to each and every one of us because we're Christians, that same blood is. It's your blood, brother and brother and sister. You'd cut your tongue out before you ever said anything bad about a brother, sister, because that's the power of the blood. Because you knew the power of Jesus' blood, you would not want to go against another brother or sister and speak bad of him or anything. Praise God, because it's the power. Hallelujah, powerful stuff, and it flows through Jesus Christ into us. Glory to God. Amen. What says? That Jesus, he said, he took it, he broke his broke it and said, "This is my body. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we take this. We're receiving healing and health and deliverance for it. And we thank you for it. We take it and bless it, Jesus. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, remembrance of me." Lord, we just remember you. We thank you for everything you did. We thank you for the power of the blood to wipe out every sin, Lord. And we thank you for it. We give you all the glory. Bless it in Jesus' name. Father God, we just love you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for just this blessing, Lord, just this covenant. This covenant that cannot be altered by man, and it will not be altered by God. God said he'd give his word, this covenant, and it will not be altered. It will not be changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why there's power in it through this blood that we can stand on it and always have the victory through it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, praise God. Monica, want to come up and do the tithes and offerings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. If anyone needs an envelope, raise your hands, please, and one of these handsome young men will get it to you. I want to talk about prosperity because that's in our covenant. Prosperity is in our blood covenant. And there's a lot of people out there that are against prosperity. Yeah, hard to believe. Why would anyone want to be against prosperity? Whole denominations seem to say they're against prosperity, and yet most of them want to prosper, yeah. Which is a natural human. We're supposed to prosper. It's the love of money that we're to stay away from. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." You know, we're supposed to love people and use money. And instead, some people use people because they love money. You know, you can be broke and still have the love of money.
Yep.
Right? All right? It's got nothing. You know, and it's funny how anyone else can be prosper, but don't be a pastor and prosper. Don't be a Christian and prosper. That's a no-no. Right? And yet, God wants the Christians to have the money because money is a tool. Just like guns are a tool. Guns are a tool that could be used for good or it could be used for bad, just like money can be used to advance God's kingdom or advance Satan's kingdom. Money can be used to help people or it could be used to hurt people. Money can be used to restore people, like hospitals, mental institutions, churches, or it can be used to destroy people. Like human trafficking, pornography, drugs, corrupt government, right? And prosperity is more than having money, too. Prosperity is having a healed, sound mind, a healed, sound heart, a healthy family, healthy, happy family, right? What good will it do to have all these riches, but your family's falling apart, your children are messed up? Our nation's messed up, right? Prosperity is in our blood covenant. Isn't that good? It's in there. It's the ability to help the oppressed. It's the ability to publish God's word. And that takes money. And God wants us to have the ability to publish the word of God because the word of God brings the blessing which brings prosperity. And it pushes out the curse and it pushes out oppression. We want the word of God everywhere because that's God's way. And then we want to get the word of God published to the heathen nations and tell them the good news. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. We all need it. The next scripture is going to be 1 Chronicles 29:12. Wealth and honor come from God. Wealth and honor comes from God. It's not come from the devil, right? It's funny, really. Psalms 34:10 says, "The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack one good thing." Or another version, "Even young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing." And then Jeremiah 10:23 says this: I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. We are not to plan our own course. Do you know why? Because we've been corrupted. We have to reprogram our minds and follow after God's steps, which is the Word of God. And then it'll lead us to prosperity. Isn't that good? There is a better way, and it's God's way. And of course, we know Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes us rich without sorrow, without the sorrow of the world. And in our blood covenant, Philippians 4:19 says that God will meet all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's a promise that is guaranteed, Deuteronomy 28, because it's in our blood covenant. In Hebrews 6:13, God made his promise that goes to all generations, and we're in the family of God through Christ, and he swore by himself because there's no one else to swear by, right? He swore, and he shed the blood of the darling of heaven and said, I will not break my covenant. Isn't that cool? And then Genesis 22:16, God made his promise to Abraham. I swear by myself. He's not going to break his word. Isn't that good? That's good. So we can follow the covenant. Well, let's pray. Well, Father God, here we are bringing our tithes and offerings to you. And Lord, I just thank you that you're presenting it, Lord Jesus, to our Heavenly Father there at the heavenly altar, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that it's more than acceptable. It pleases you. And Lord, I thank you. You said when we bring our tithes and offerings to the house of God, you open up the windows of heaven. You pour out a blessing so big there's not even room enough to take it all in. And then you rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground. And all the nations would call us blessed and happy. I thank you, Lord, and that you said that when we bring our tithes and offerings to you, when we give, it'll be given back, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring into our bosom. We just thank you for that, and I speak the blessing. I speak increase. I speak the rebuking of the enemy over every household here, because we have a blood covenant with Jesus that will never be broken, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen. Amen. Isn't that good? If you young men wouldn't mind bringing that up, we're going to give glory and praise to the King.
Love me, oh, Lord. by you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me.
Hallelujah. Good to know that he loves you. That's why you got to be in the Word of God. Because, I mean, the Word's going to get revealed to you what God's truths are. And we're talking about the waste belt of truth. If you're not in the Word, you don't know how much God loves you. Until you get in there and find out what he's done for you and what he's given each and every one of us, praise God. All right, we're going to do this for the release of the youth and children. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. All right, y'all release, praise God. Hallelujah. Go have fun. Learn them books, praise God. I was working with the children. It was last month, and I was having to help a bunch on the Bibles, then finding where the Bibles were. So we decided to really work harder on that because they need to know where all 66 Bibles. I can turn right to them and get to them, praise God. You know, that was one thing I noticed last month and everything. So I think Monica's continuing working on them. With that, praise God. Hallelujah. Let me see if I can get this thing working. We are over in John chapter 8, 33. All right, praise God. Let me see if I can find my spot. John 8, 33. I'm looking here. Hopefully I'm going the right direction. John 8, actually 31. Excuse me. John 8, 31. This is what Jesus said. And we are continuing in the armor of God out of Ephesians. And we're working on the waist belt of truth. Waist belt of truth. You know, he's describing a Roman soldier, all the different pieces of armor he had, and the waist belt of truth was a defensive armor protection that had a belt and everything and a buckle and everything. I actually look, you can go online and look it up. It's pretty neat to look at the old Roman waist belt they wore in those times and the waist belt of truth. And they've talked about how you've actually been arrows of you know, fling off at, won't go through, won't pierce through it. People been actually been shot, I heard, and the Mythbusters tried to shoot through it, and the bullet wouldn't go through it. It was so strong. So it's another type of protection force, praise God. So over in 8:31 of John, Jesus said to the people who believe in me, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. If you okay. See, God, right there, the Lord put a barb on it right there. There's a little bit of catch right there. You are truly my disciples if you stay faithful to my teachings. Staying faithful to his truth and his teachings. And you'll know you're a disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth of God will set you free. And I was thinking about that. I was like, the truth of God is what sets you free. Well, without the Word of God, you'd never known about salvation or the blood covenant or how to get saved and delivered and set free. And there's many here. I'm believing in times to come that even some of these truths, the whole body of Christ will get, praise God. Because there's some out there, they don't even know about how powerful and how great they are, praise God. Let's look at another one. One of these truths that set us free is Matthew 18:18. It's actually called the keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'll say it again. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Sound like to me that you have a little bit of responsibility, a little something going on in your life, doesn't it? Sound like to me there's life and death in the tongue. But sound like to me that you can bind the devil here on the earth and he'll be bound in heaven. Yeah. It also says that whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. And the Bible clearly states, that we're loosing things all the time with our tongue, praise God. Either for bad or for good, praise God. And I've been a Bible since I was a kid. Back up in Ohio when I went to the Methodist, and even down here, went some, then got saved, and never even knew this truth was even in there. All I basically knew for many years is about Jesus and salvation and everything. But now I'm learning so many other things that I wouldn't have got. But now I thank God for the truth that's in there, praise God. We'll see another part of this binding and loosing. Look over at Mark 11. Mark 11:23. For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain. All right, the first thing you'll notice is that Jesus talking to his disciples, that he said, if you'll say to the mountain, what do they got to do? They have to say to the mountain. There's nothing going to change in their life unless they're saying to the mountain. And he's teaching them how to say what they want. Say what you need in your life, the promises of God. That's why I got all those promises back here. I have got prayers back here. You can pray over the church. I got promises back here that you confess over you and your family. They're back here for your benefit, praise God, because the word is benefits. All right, it goes on to say, it's whoever says the mountain. So it says it once. You're saying to the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. There's twice. Faith is active. You're saying it again. You're saying it. And he will have whatever he says. Three times. He's have whatever he says, praise God. So he's loosing on earth whatever he wants, whatever his desire is. He's loosing on earth. Verse 24 said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. For this last part, number 24, to work, you got to get 23 and 18 of Matthew work in your life. In other words, get control of your tongue by being in the Word of God, in God's truth enough, and confessing His Word that you can pick up on what you're saying, you're loosing, is right or wrong. You got to be able to pick up on it. So in order for 24, therefore I say to you, whatever you ask or pray when you pray, in other words, you're praying to the Father in Jesus' name, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. God's part is the having part. Make sure you have them. But don't bind, this truth is, don't bind his hands up by saying the wrong thing. Keep on saying the Word of God, like Monica was teaching on the blessing of prosperity. There's a lot of churches, and it is so hypocritical. A lot of these people in these churches around the world, they preach against prosperity, but yet, man, they love the vehicle they drive. They're happy they got a vehicle. They love their house. They love their air conditioner and their food and everything else. But they preach against about being blessed and having what you need and everything. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. Why you would ever do that when deep down themselves, they want to make sure they have more than enough for them and their family. They would like to leave with their children a blessing and some land and things like that. They would like that. But they sit there and preach against it. And another thing Monty said, even a dirt poor person, I'm talking about been down in the living in the dump, don't have nothing in their name, they're a cardboard box, they're living in the dump, they can be in sin of love of money, that sin of love of the money. It's not the money what's wrong, it's the love of the money that's wrong. Money can be used to be a blessing to you and your family and to others, hallelujah. You can be able to give stuff away and help people. All right, another truth that I really like, a lot of people don't know about. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 26. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Okay, I'm going to paint a picture with you. I'm going to take the Word of God and take the brush and paint a picture in your mind. Jesus was talking to his 12 disciples there because they just said to Jesus, how can anybody be saved? Because Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler and about him not, he come up to Jesus and said, Master, good master, what do I have to do to get saved? And Jesus told him to sell all he had and give to the poor. And Bible said that Jesus loved him because he said he'd done all the commandments. He asked him, he's done all these commandments. That's how he got blessed in the first place. He was doing the commandments of God, and Jesus loved him. And the man, when Jesus told him that if he'd take what he had, sell and give to the poor, he walked away sorrowful. What was his problem? What was he missing on the way spell of truth? He did not know the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, and it can hinder you. He did not know that back there in Proverbs, God's Word states, he who pities the poor will lend to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. If, let's say the man had $20,000 worth of stuff he sold and gave to the poor. Well, you're guaranteed he'd have got that back, praise God. God already, he didn't know the Word. He didn't know the truth. He walked us away sorrowful. Wow, my gosh, been awesome if he knew would have known the Word of God. Verse 26 again. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who can be saved? These men are Jewish, right? They've been quoting a blessing. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. For years that Abraham taught them, that God showed him, and all these things going down through the heritage. They're blessed folks. They have fishing businesses. They're not eating all those fishes. They're coming back and selling them. Praise God. They got a business. Hallelujah. And just think about that. The 12 disciples were amazed that if it's so hard for a rich man to get into heaven, who could be saved? Because, you know, they were rich. They had plenty. But then look at verse 21. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. God could even, through his word, turn a rich person that was trusting his money. Next thing you know, that rich person is trusting in Jesus, and he's a blessing to everyone around him. When he is a blessing, he learns how to be a blessing, given it should be given unto you. All of a sudden, it's coming back to him, even more what he had, if he'll ever learn how to trust Jesus in the Word. And it'll come back to him, and he can be more, help more people, praise God. That's what Jesus wants to do. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, so this is what he's guaranteed you and me. He's guaranteed the 12 disciples and you and me. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who's left his house, his brother, sisters, fathers, mothers, wife, or children, land, for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive how much in this time? You can. That's the least you ought to expect to give. When you're giving tithes and offerings, giving an offering, you at least expect on your offering 100 times back. If you give a dollar, you ought to expect $100 back every time, praise God, because it's a 100-fold return. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, persecution, age come, eternal life. Praise God. He guaranteed land, everything come back to you. Praise God. 100-fold return on your giving, whatever you give. That's, you ask me, that's a good deal. Praise God. That's a good deal. See, if you don't know the truth, it can be stolen from you. You don't know God's truth about it. Let's look over at Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the freedom, by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. See, what Satan does, one of his tactics is, he loves to do this right here. He loves to get you to hear, you know, someone will talk to you and tell you what grandma said or grandpa said or man's tradition. And they'll steal, Satan will use that to steal the Word of God away from you, the truth that just had been imparted to you, and Satan will try to take it away from you. He'll send someone to try to steal that truth. Oh, God's not going to bless you like that. God's not going to give like that. And the thing is, that person probably not even in the Bible very much. You know, they'll read a little bit here on a quarterly, here a bit, a little bit there. But to get in the Word of God, they don't know the Word of God most of the time. They just don't know it. So we got to stay free. Stay free. There's some of them that don't say that they're, as far as America, the Christians being involved in the different offices of politics. How do you expect the country to stand if there's not good, godly Christians all the way from your local district attorney, judges, county commissioners, all the way to the president? How do you expect the country to stand if you don't put them in there? And they're sitting there, the church has bought into that lie. They bought into a lie of the devil when Monica's been teaching it. Adams, Washington, Hancock, all of them, first ones that started the country, our founding fathers, were politicians, and they're Christians leading the government. That's what I mean. That's how it got started, praise God. There's the truth, and the truth will set you free, praise God. Colossians chapter 1, 23. Colossians chapter 1, 23. Let me find it here. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. But you must, I'm stopping right there. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. You must continue believing this truth and stand firmly in it. This happens to Christians. They'll get a word. They'll get the truth. And they'll sometimes walk away from it. It's happened to many Christians. They finally get the truth, and they'll start getting set free. An example of that is a salesman that's like selling insurance. Might be different, life insurance, whatever. And this man is having great success. Good Christian man, following Jesus for years, and he's a salesperson that's selling insurance, different types of insurance, and doing great. And then he comes some young whippersnapper along, and he teaches him exactly how to just do what I told you to do, because here's the truth. And if you'll do it, you'll succeed. And he starts going out and doing what he did, and he starts succeeding. But then he goes down to the coffee shop where the do-nothings are. Talk about there's nothing to do. You know how it is. I've been down there myself. And they tell him, oh, I tried that insurance business. It don't work. You can't do nothing with that. And he'll believe the lie over the truth and go back to where he was and just let it all fall away. And there's Christians who do the same thing with the Word of God. They'll learn the truth of the Word of God and finally get the freedom in it and how to use the Word of God. Well, health is one of them. About your healing and wholeness. That they'll go back to believing that God put it on them just to teach them something. When the Bible clearly states, you can look. You can clearly see that Jesus healed every person, praise God. He didn't put sickness or disease on anybody. It would be like the strong man trying to take down the strong man. We talked about Satan going against Satan. It would be like Jesus going against Jesus, because he's going to put sickness on people so he can take it off of them. It's going to tear the house down. It's going to tear it up. No, he healed every one of them, praise God. So don't ever let these truths get away from you, hallelujah. Keep them. Brainwashing. Brainwashing and hearing something over and over and over again is used to, in your mind, to establish a certain fact or truth. All right? And you've seen it. Cults do it. Cults will brainwash somebody with what they believe, their lie. Until they believe it. In the 70s and 80s, and that happened a lot. You look at, David Koresh. I mean, he had those mamas believing it was okay that he was marrying those 12 and 13-year-old girls. And he even had, I don't know how many wives. It was pitiful. Pitiful brainwashing. That's what it does. But now you could take someone out of a situation like that, and you could reprogram them with the truth, the Word of God, to rational thinking, and turn their life around, praise God, where they think right. It can be done. In fact, it's been done on each and every one of us, especially those that, if you've been in the world for, say, 20, 30, 40 years, you got saved, and you had a certain way of thinking that you've been programmed to all the TVs. That's why they call it, the television is called a program, because it's programming you. It's programming you to believe a certain way, and it can turn around and program you to think God's way. The world's way is become the borrower becomes servant to the lender. God's way is give and it should be given unto you. Totally different than the world's. Totally different. The world's way is take as much as you get. Take God, give, and it should be given unto you. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 26. I'll start right there at the end of 20, 5 there. Just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Washed by the cleansing of God's word. It's just think about that. When you're taking the word of God, you're reading it, you're confessing it, you're doing your whatever needs to be done, your confession, you are actually washing your mind. It's just washing over your mind. It's getting that junk out of there, that bad. It's bringing faith. I can trust God. I got the favor of God in my life. This is the favor of God in my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we've been made to be brainwashed by the truth. It'll make you free. All right. Our next body of armor is God's righteousness. His righteousness. Satan will accuse us every time we mess up. Anytime you try to mess up. Now, you might get to the point where you've stabbed him with a sword. It is written. It is written. It is written. Enough times that whenever you mess up, that you repent of it, that he ain't going to come back and try to accuse you of it again because he knows it's not going to do him any good. But if you still hang on to those thoughts and fear or whatever of condemnation, and then he'll still use it against God's people when they mess up. God's given us his righteousness through the blood of Jesus, praise God. Let's look at that. Let's check out this righteousness and what he's given to us. Let me talk about it real quick. All right, your breastplate of righteousness. It's the part of your suit of your armor which covers the upper front section of your body. And then you got the coat of mail across your back. So this breastplate of righteousness is protecting all your vitals, your heart, your lungs, and everything right there, praise God, to watching over them, praise God. So let's say, and we'll get to this, we haven't got there yet, but let's say you got your shield of faith up. And that's why it says, above all, keep that shield of faith up. I think long, protecting your whole body when them arrows are coming at you. When you got that, let's say you get it down, you get weak or tired, and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, confessing, and one of these arrows come in, it's going to hit that shield, this breastplate of righteousness before it enters into your organs, your main organs there, praise God. Why? Because you have to remember that you've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus. And Jesus couldn't pierce you and take you out. And because what he wants to really do, he'd love to just kill a Christian, just take him off the earth first thing. He'd like to do that, get him gone. But he don't have power to do that unless you give him the power through your words. If he can't do that, he'll try to do other things to get you off the truth of the Word of God and things. So he'll try to get you to quit. He'll get you to forget you're being righteous through Jesus Christ and His blood. All right, righteousness. The character or quality of being right or just, an attribute of God. A Christian is one that is in right standing with God. It's a gift from God to those who believe in Jesus Christ by faith. Righteousness cannot be obtained by our good works or obeying the law. It comes through faith, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, look at Saul. Paul and Saul. You think if you would have killed Christians, drug them off the prison, that turn helped kill Stephen, sat at the garden clothes of those that killed him, and beat on them, killed some of them, everything that he did, then he'd be caught saved. And you think about that. And it talked about it through his life as he wrote the letters to the different churches, finally he got to the point where he said, I have wronged no man. Now, how did he do that when he knew what he did at one time? I have wronged no man. That only comes by knowing Jesus Christ and His Word. To get to the point where I have wronged no man, and finally he got to the, he realized that through the blood of Jesus, they've been made righteous. Let's look at this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Oh, hold on. Let me keep going here. Wrong area. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is he? New creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. A clean slate, you might say. You got a clean slate, praise God. You know, everything that was in your past, you can use as a testimony as what God's turned around. Hallelujah. That you're not that person anymore. So Paul realized that he was a new person. Now all things are God's, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. You and I have a responsibility. Now, you're getting truths here, so you have to start walking in these truths because you're responsible for what you know now of the Bible. Beforehand, you were only responsible of salvation and then, but you're more responsible now of doing these things that God's showing you that's in his word. So you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means basically winning the saved Jesus. You know, if they need prayer, praying for your brothers and sisters, holding them up, walking in that love, praise God, when they need help. Hallelujah. And you're doing that, but that's what it basically means. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we hit now, it's been committed to us. It's committed to you and me. It's been committed to us, the word of reconciliation. So now we could take this word and give it to others to reconcile them, to bring them to Jesus. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You're one sent. As through God, we're pleading through us. As God, we're pleading through us. Come on. He's like, you're pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. Praise God. We might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's speak it out together. I am in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. Old things passed away. All things become new. So what's happened here? The old man is gone. You got all your past failures and mistakes are wiped out by the blood of Jesus. That's not you anymore. That's not you. That's not you. The man who trusts in Christ Jesus becomes a righteousness of God in him. We become Christ-like. We become Christ-like, praise God. Like I was talking about that blood covenant. I mean, I'm starting to study on that, and I'm going to eventually do a teaching on it. The power that's in, I mean, we sing that song when we were young, the power in the blood, the power. But, you know, I believe in the blood. But do you really know what it is? Well, how powerful that is. I'm doing a study on it. It's amazing the power that's in the blood of Jesus. And like I said, we would really love one another and watch out for one another. We'd be there to lay our lives down for one another and whatever it takes if we knew how joined we really are, how joined a Christian really is by this blood. It's amazing to know how joined you are, what a blood covenant means and what it does. You know, you think about a marriage covenant, how powerful that is. But you're joined by the blood of Jesus to each other. All right. We receive the wonderful Holy Spirit just like Jesus did. The Holy Spirit comes, you know, to us, praise God. That's how we become righteousness. It's the regeneration of our spirit by the Holy Spirit when we got saved. Let's say this out loud. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, that, you know, that may be something you need to say. But if you're confident in that, then praise God for it. I've got my confidence in the Word. Hallelujah. I got the truth, and I'm not letting go of it. I'm not letting anybody steal it from me. Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Satan's been cast down, the accuser. See, Satan's been defeated. He's been put under our feet. That's why, that's the only reason, that the reason why Jesus came, was born of a virgin. He didn't need to do it for himself. It was for us to keep Satan under our feet. Praise God. Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll check that out. Ephesians 1. Let's go with verse 19 right there. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. So Jesus seated at his right hand in heavenly places. Far above all prince, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. And he put all things, say all. He put all things under his feet. All things are under Jesus' feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. If it's under Jesus' feet, it's under your feet, because you're the body. He's the head. He's the head, you're the body. You got to always remember that Satan has been placed under your feet. It's up to you. See, the war's been won. Each battle, you have to fight. You have to fight each battle. Either it's the battle of the mind, you know, the thoughts, or something in your house you need to happen that you don't want to blame God for or whatever, and you pray and believe for a bill to be paid or whatever it is. You know, whatever that battle is. But you know what? You know, he is in us greater than he that's in this world. We can overcome it by faith in his word. Amen. Look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? The same rights that Jesus has in heaven right now, you have him right here. As he is in heaven, so are we in this world. Because we're seated there. We're seated there. I got enough of the word of God inside of me now. I'm more heavenly minded than I am world minded nowadays. I'm thinking like Jesus more and more every day because I got more word in my mind. Praise God. Good stuff. Good stuff. It's the way to live free. Way to live blessed. Romans 8:1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's say it aloud. I belong to Jesus Christ, and I'm free from all condemnation. So we're walking in the Spirit, right? We're not walking. You're living this flesh, but you're not walking according to the flesh. You're not acting out of anger. When an issue comes, when you're driving or whatever, I don't know if you have any problem with that or not, but we're not supposed to lash out and go run people down or flip them off or whatever the world does. We're supposed to be peculiar people, a little different, you know, and different from them. When Monica first got saved, I mean, she's saved. She got Jesus in her heart. This is back in the late 80s. And she was going to church. And the pastor's wife just lit in her and jumped all over her because she had to smell smoke on her. And she was still working on getting free of that from the power of Jesus Christ. See, Satan will stop at nothing to get you to stop going to church or make you offended or hurt in some way. Now, he'll try to stop that relationship you have with Jesus and get you away from the church. And I have not yet met one person that need to read the Bible of God, read the Word of God, and go to church because he was cleaned up. Everyone I know went to read the Word of God or reading the Word of God and going to church because they need Jesus to clean them up. Hallelujah. I think now, 30 years later, I think we're getting more of the truth and people are seeing that more than ever because, man, you take 30 years ago, they'd jump all over you if you were smelled like smoke or something like that, and you were a baby Christian, you just got saved, and it would be like wanting you to change right then. Right then. You know, it, from 88, she drifted away from the church because of what happened there, and she quit going. And finally, there in the 92, she moved to Dallas from Albuquerque, and she got back in there with Jesus and got stronger than ever. And we finally overcome that and able to give it up and quit since 92, praise God. But she wouldn't have lost 2 or 3 years there. If she would have stayed going to church, if it wouldn't have been and got offended and got hurt by somebody jumping on her about it. So we don't need to listen to judgmental people. We need to listen to the Word of God and our conscience, which is in tune with the Word of God, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times I notice this about people that are self-righteous or judgmental. They'll judge everything through their good intentions and everything, with their good intentions about themselves. But they'll expect you to abide by their high standards or their law and everything that they have. But their self, they judge as, excuse me, I got that wrong. They judge you by the law and their high standards, but they judge their self by their good intentions. In other words, what they think they ought to have do in their life. And then you can get in that and it can actually be a burden to you and make you angry at people make you where you're so yourself. It's just like you don't have no grace for nobody. You won't have no grace for nobody and everything. It's terrible like to live. Let the Holy Spirit convict you of sin and problems you got in your life. What happens when you get into sin? Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Word. Here it comes. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Thank you, Jesus. He made a way, didn't he? And John was speaking to the Christians by the power of the Holy Spirit when he wrote this letter. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good. All unrighteousness. Not one ounce of unrighteousness. That's why I love, man, I tell you what. I haven't read enough of the Bible. I'm getting so close to the Holy Spirit for years now. I can be driving down the back road. And I know exactly when I get over 35 miles an hour. Don't have to be looking at the speed limit. I know I'm getting over it. And I look down, oh, slow down, Lord, I'm speeding. And stuff like that. And I just get right. It's just who I am, praise God. Who I am. I just want to please Jesus. I want to do everything right, praise God. And to please him because I love him so much. Not one ounce of unrighteousness once you repent when you've done something wrong. And you show me someone that doesn't sin or believe that doesn't sin, you just show me a liar because everyone I know sins. Bible says you make Jesus out a liar, God a liar, if you don't believe you hadn't sinned or do sin. Let's look over at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. Say, I am a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. Another version of that is peculiar people. The world just does not understand us. They just baffled by us because we're God's peculiar people. Because we won't run with them. We won't act like them and do the deeds that they do. And it just freaks them out. I'd rather freak them out and follow Jesus than to be like them and run in that wide gate and go to hell. I can forget that wide gate. I can forget about cheating and dealing and everything else they do and whatever else they do. And, you know, lusting on, getting on, run off some other man's wife or wife run off another man and all that other stuff. They can forget it. I'm going to heaven. They can have all that stuff they want. I'm not going down that wide gate and burning up for eternity. They can forget it. All right, he goes on to say, special people that we proclaim the praise of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have obtained mercy, and now have obtained, who have not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have now mercy. We have mercy for what when we do something wrong. We have mercy that we can run to him and get forgiveness, praise God. That's good news. Good news. We have mercy in the Lord. And we're his people. We're different from the world. Let's speak it out. I am a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us your righteousness. So we are righteous by the blood of Jesus. You got to know who you are. You got to remember about this breastplate of righteousness. You got to get free from all guilt and condemnation. I see people, this is one thing I notice about them. People that, a lot of times they're judgmental like that and everything else. They have so much sin in their life, it's not even funny. And they just let it sit there and fester and fester and fester and fester. And they're really hard on other people. Praise God. And last but not least, when those thoughts come on, you've repented and to the Lord, and the thoughts come on from the enemy, and you know this as well as I know this, we're supposed to cast those thoughts down, the exalted self against Jesus. If it's coming against you, any thought of condemnation, of guilt, trying to bring you down, because I've seen it. Most Christians I know of, they're trying to do what's right. They're trying to follow Jesus and love Jesus and do what's right. They're not on purpose, maliciously, trying to do what's wrong. They're trying to do what's right. They don't want to sin. They don't want to. Most of them I know, they don't want to sin. They want to do what's right, praise God. So until they get knowledge of how the Word of God, that you have this authority to take, nope, I rebuke that thought you get out of my mind in Jesus' name, condemnation or guilt. I've been made the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Until they get knowledge of that, they're stuck in there, and they're always thinking about their sin and how they're sinning here and sinning there. And like I said, it'll bleed over in their life to other people, and they'll be hard on other people. The most gracious people I see is one that have grace for themselves. You have grace for yourself, you run to the Lord, I repent of doing something, and whatever you've done, and you'll give grace, praise God. You're quick to give grace because you forgive yourself and you forgive your family. And that's the people you live around the most is your family. And you got to give them more grace than anyone else is your family, because they're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. Sometimes they're going to get on your nerves. What are you going to do? You're going to give them some grace, praise God. You're going to give them some grace and love on them. All right, let's all stand. Remember to have that breastplate of righteousness on you, praise God. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you. Make it a reality into our mind, Lord. A reality of your breastplate of righteousness, how important it is to know who we are in you, Jesus. Who you made us by the blood of Jesus, Lord. Let us just stay in there and let us keep reminding ourselves of it. That way we can stay strong in it and not get into condemnation and guilt. And then get into where we're real judgmental towards other people. No, we can stay free in your grace. We'll stay free in your grace, and we'll give grace to others and love others, Lord, because we know we have this breastplate of righteousness. We know what we've been made through you, Jesus, through your blood. And then we can help others and teach them that they don't have to live in that condemnation all the time. Now, if you've heard this message, and you may be in a lot of condemnation. You may not even have Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. Well, it's easy to make him your Lord and Savior. You're listening either by CD or voiceofbelieverschurch.org. All you got to do is ask him in. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, raised back to the right-hand side of the Father, and ask him into your heart. It's a simple heart-to-heart thing with God that you do, praise God. It's part of that covenant. And all you got to do, over there in Romans 10:9-10 says that if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and raised back to the right-hand side of the Father, and believe and ask him in, you shall be saved. And if you want that and you want him to fill you up with his Holy Spirit, like Luke 11:13 says, that you can get filled with the Holy Spirit, all you got to do is pray to the Father in Jesus' name. You can get filled. Well, you can get that too. It's simple. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Show me your will for my life. Let me live for you. Let me live for you and do your will. And just reveal your word to me and your truths. that I can have those truths, Lord, to use in my life. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Let me be that blessing, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for it. Lord, I call myself saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, delivered and set free. In Jesus' name. Now, once you prayed that prayer, all you have to do is find you a good local church. Be led by the Spirit of God. Pray. Find out where you need to go. Find a good church that'll love on you and teach the Word of God and how to trust Jesus. And plug yourself in there. Plug yourself in there. Don't go to church hopping, because you'll be just like a plant. When you pull it out from the ground, once it starts getting established, you wield it again. Find you a good one that teaches the Word of God how to stay faithful to Jesus. Hallelujah. And go on voiceofbelieverschurch.org and on the prayer link here, click on it and send us the good news about you getting saved. My wife Monica and I, and we'll be praying for you, praise God. But just above all, get you a good church where you can get a family to be praying for you and getting the Word of God to you, get set free. Now, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, everyone here and everyone listening. I say that we are the head, not the tail. We're the lender, not the borrower. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he'll have to flee from his seven, because he is in us. The Holy Spirit is greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We owe no man anything except to love one another. Our God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We give and it should be given to us. Good measure, pushed down, shaken together, running over, shall mean given our bosom. Same measure we meet with us, be measured to us again. Beloved, I pray above all things thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Though 1,000 fall one side and 10,000 on the right hand, nothing deadly will come near us. No plague or disease will come near our dwelling. With a long life he satisfies. Thank you, Lord, for a long, healthy life. Lord, we take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting out any and all thoughts that exalt itself against Jesus. Thoughts of fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, depression, discouragement, heaviness. We say, you get out of our mind and go in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over our mind. Lord, just we thank you, Lord, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word. As we go out of here, Lord, just bring us those people that don't know you, Jesus, that we can be that word of reconciliation, like you said over there in 2 Corinthians, be that reconciliation of the world. Show them the path to Jesus Christ. And those that do know you, Jesus, that we can be that blessing and show them your truths, that it's Satan that come to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus came to give them life and give them more abundantly. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for a blessed, wonderful week of just joy and happiness, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me release you with a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what Moses and them did, praise God. They give the blessing.